there! You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts and OSU Small Farms Program shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension in Marion and Polk Counties. On this episode, we are talking with Jeff Wyant, a local farmer and the owner of Open Table Farms in Salem. Open Table Farms is a small-scale mixed vegetable farm that strives for sustainability. Today, I'll be chatting with Jeff all about his farm, what they grow, the challenges, and the joys of farming. Without further ado, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to Jeff Wyant.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being here. To open things up with a nice general question, can you tell us more about Open Table Farms?
So, like you said, we are a mixed vegetable farm. We started in 2019 here in Salem. We are on about 4,800 square feet of actual garden space that we have available. So we're about a quarter acre, not very large, of course, as far as farms go. But what we've been able to do is kind of intensively plant in the area where we're working so we can get as much as we can into the small space. So that's allowed us to grow enough food for our family as well as sell the surplus at the Salem Saturday Market.
Can you tell me more about the background of the name, Open Table Farms?
Open Table Farms comes from the quote that I heard before several years ago that was, if you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a taller fence. And that's really stuck with me. We always have more than we need, even when it sometimes feels like we don't. There's always some that we can give. And so this farm being an extension of we have extra, we're able to then provide for others who either are unable to grow their own or are looking for something that, you know, might be available in their area a little closer to home than some things that have come from far away. We are there to kind of share what we have.
Yeah, what an important principle to base your farm off of. I love that. Are you the sole farmer of Open Table Farms? Is it a family operation?
I am the one who does the majority of the work, but my wife and my kids are able to do more and more each year. My wife is definitely, she's absolutely there helping me more with kind of the maybe during harvest and after harvest when we have to wash produce and bag things up and get things prepared to go to market on Saturdays. She is definitely right there helping, as well as she's out in the field with me anytime we have to pull weeds and do all that kind of stuff. But our kids, now that they are, you know, our oldest is in third grade and our youngest will be going into kindergarten this year, they're all out there and helping and enjoying the outside with us as much as possible.
Creating some of those core memories, connecting to the land early on is so important. What have you planted this year? What might people expect to see at the Salem Saturday Market once the season gets going? It's been a little delayed, cold and wet. Will you be trying any new varieties this year?
The last time I counted, I think we have 29 different varieties of fruits and vegetables, and I realized that I hadn't included herbs in that as well. So there's probably another four or five with basil and oregano and thyme, some of those fun things that'll come a little later in the season. But right now in the ground, we have broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, lettuce is just starting to sprout and come up. Carrots will be coming in soon as the weather gets warmer and things germinate and actually come up. But every year we try to add different varieties of each of those different vegetables, as well as, you know, all of the others I didn't list, tomatoes, peppers, all those things. We're trying to find out what grows best in our area because there are so many different varieties that have different heat tolerances and cold tolerances and pest resistance, maybe disease resistance as well. So by trying several different things and starting to save seed every year, we're starting to get things that are more adapted to our climate and our microclimate in our garden space. So we try to do a little bit of something different every year, find the things that work and keep those back and do those again the next year. We also, it was probably 2 years ago, realized that I really like the color of the bright purple vegetables. So we have tried to find a purple variety of everything that we grow. And we have got most things with a really pretty purple, which is fun at the market. It's really visually appealing to have either bright reds or bright purples. They'll catch the eye, and they're typically higher in certain types of nutrients that you may not find in other colors of vegetables. So by doing a little bit of variety there, you're getting something that looks really pretty and is really tasty, and it's fun to do. So,
yeah, I wouldn't have really thought about that. I was just at a Saturday market this week, and yeah, thinking about what draws people in, get some different colors in there that people might notice and pick out of as they walk along. That's really smart. And also, it just sounds like you like the color as well.
Yeah, I do. It's fun to, I mean, it's just something different, you know. Everyone knows of carrots as, you know, orange carrots, and those are lovely and great, but there's something about a purple carrot that just stands out. Like, that's so different, you know, and we like that. Those are the kinds of things that my wife, Michelle, she's really good about making our market stand attractive to the eye. She has a great eye for those kind of details, and so that's also one of the ways that, like, she has really helped out, because otherwise I don't think I would be able to make anything look nearly so nice as she does when we're out there at the market. So,
yeah, but it's great to be thinking about all of the things that go into a successful farmers market stands, other than just having really beautiful, nutritious, and a variety of produce. But at the Saturday market, there's a lot of vendors, and you want to be able to catch the eye and also get people to try new things and new varieties. And you've mentioned vegetables, herbs, and fruits, you know, that diverse mix of produce that you offer. Does Open Table Farms have any other agriculture endeavors going on?
This year, this past October, we actually got a flock of meat sheep, that we are going to raise through this year. So we're right at the season where lambs are coming out. We had some lambs born just a couple days ago, and they are so cute.
It's so exciting.
It is, and it's, I had never realized the benefits to your ecosystem that could come from animals. We have had various animals in the past, but never have I thought about using sheep or cows or goats, chickens, pigs, any of the kind of farm livestock to build up your soils and build up the grasses and all of the different biodiverse species that benefit from having that extra animal movement in there. So being able to take that, we're going to raise those for meat, hopefully have in the late fall, maybe by Christmas this year, our first lambs for sale for meat that will be, you know, grass-fed, and it's helped the grass to be more productive and more diverse for the next year. So it's like building things up in a way that I had never really considered before. But after this last summer of reading various books about the topic, it was like, wow, that just makes sense. And so for us, we added those in. We're going to slowly add in more animals as, you know, time and space allows, and see if we can get kind of a little mini ecosystem going where all of the different pieces can work together to keep the land healthy and productive.
Yeah, I like that whole systems approach that you're taking with Open Table Farms. Jeff, you started Open Table Farms in 2019, correct? What was your farming journey to get to that point?
It was probably 2 years or maybe 3 years before that. I had been reading a book about the concept of vocation and really having a calling to your work, not just working a job, but working into something that kind of resonates with you more at a deeper level than just working. And at that time, I thought it would be fun to just start a backyard garden. You know, it was two raised beds in the backyard, and we had tried growing some different stuff before. But I thought, well, I really want to, you know, like, dive into this. It seems like it might be kind of fun. And it was amazing. It was like, even though I grew, you know, a few vegetables and most things failed, it was like, you know, I got to see the growth of the plants. I got to be a part of that process, and I felt like I came alive. I really enjoyed that. And so just we kind of expanded our backyard garden. We were living down in Klamath Falls at the time. So they have a very different kind of set of growing conditions throughout the summer than we have up here in the valley. But all of our family was up here. Both my in-laws and my parents are from here. And so I had an opportunity to come back and help my parents with some work that they were doing. And so when we came back, we just said, well, let's try doing the garden maybe as a business. Maybe that will actually work. It had seemed like I was enjoying the process of gardening. I thought, well, let's try this as a business. So we came back here at kind of the end of 2018 and jumped right in. Like I said, 2019, we started the business, and we've been just slowly growing every year in terms of the size of the garden and what produce we have to offer. It's just kind of expanded every year. So
what pieces of farming specifically, you mentioned coming alive, mm-hmm. When you started cultivating and growing things, what has really made that impact with you? And it, you know, again, you have Open Table Farms, it's a concept of sharing what you have. But why do you keep doing it? What keeps you going?
I keep doing it because every year I learn something new. Every year I see something new. We have issues, problems, whether it's a new pest we haven't dealt with before, or weather swings where it'll be 117 degrees in June, or it could be 48 degrees and rainy in the same month the next year. So every year we have something different that we have to navigate and figure out, and it's enjoyable to have a problem, not at the time, but after you've figured it out, you've solved that, it's like, okay, we got this, we've learned something new, we can take that knowledge and move it forward for the next year. So every year I get better at what I'm doing. I'm learning more things, talking to people, reading different ideas on how to farm, which has really kind of changed our direction as we go. We are right now, we are no-till in our practices. We have done that officially, if you can call it that, for the last two seasons. The first two seasons, I was not opposed to tilling. I had myself a tiller and was using that tool to garden and farm. And then after reading some different ideas about soil health and different people doing things differently, it seemed to me that, well, maybe if we don't till up our particular beds in this one area, we can see how things grow, you know, and do a little trial comparison type stuff. And it seemed like every time we stopped tilling in an area, we would have fewer weeds that would come up. We weren't bringing up new weed seeds. It seemed like the plants that were growing in that area were healthier and getting the nutrients that they needed from the same ground that was, you know, treated the same way for everything else. So as we've, you know, done different things, it's fun to see the results of different trials and figure out what works a little bit better than what doesn't, and kind of navigate the whole process.
A quick update if you're just joining us. I'm here with Jeff Wyant, a local farmer and the owner of Open Table Farms in Salem. And you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. Jeff, you mentioned a few of the challenges, and each time I invite a farmer on our show, I try to talk about those, because farming, the process of farming, there's a lot of challenges. So, you know, it can be rewarding, but it isn't easy. What are some challenges you have experienced that you are comfortable sharing?
One of the things that makes our farming adventure a bit of a challenge is that we're small. And right now we are so small that I can't work the farm for my full-time position. It's a part-time job for me at this point. And that means I have to sometimes fit it in the margins of my other responsibilities. But by the same token, the weeds don't wait for me to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, the vegetables can only wait for so long to be harvested before they're outside of, you know, a harvestable product. So having to figure out exactly when I'm going to be where, that can be difficult sometimes, and it does make the spring through late summer pretty stressful for us there, the whole family, as we're all trying to work together to do what we can when we can and get everything out appropriately. And also, pests are one of those things that I've had. There's always something eating your produce. Hopefully it's you most of the time, but there are, you know, at this time of year, there are slugs everywhere. And later on, there will be aphids or some other pest trying to eat something. So one of the things that we're trying to do is allow for more plants as kind of a permanent border around the space. And with those permanent plants, it can house both some of these pest species as well as the predators of those species. So hopefully I can basically let nature do its thing and let the predators come and eat the prey as much as possible. So, you know, I'm learning, like I said, that I can't do a whole lot to control the situation, but if I work more in line with the natural way of being, that there's always something that will eat the something that I don't want eating my stuff. So trying to work within that.
Yeah, you got to use that biocontrol, utilize it when you can. That's great. Now, to keep things balanced, what brings you joy? And we talked about kind of what keeps you going, but have there been moments of joy at the farm, or, you know, if it's not a, you know, like a memory or a snapshot in time, just in general, what balances out the challenges for you?
I like watching the plants grow. Every day I can come out in the garden and see something new has come up or something new is starting to flower. Like within the next few weeks, our peas should be up and starting to put out their first flowers, which is one of my ways of kind of mentally noting that the year has come. Like spring has come for me when I see those pea flowers start to come on the trellis. And those are some of the first things that, okay, now we're off to the races. We're ready to go. And I love seeing those because typically I'm out first thing in the morning. It's generally cool if it's not, you know, flat out raining and cold. We'll have those spring days where there's maybe a cool mist, little bit of foggy layer, hearing the birds coming awake and starting to, you know, sing all through the forests surrounding our property there. I get to just, I don't know, be outside. There's something about just the natural world that I think is so, it's beautiful. So that is really fun for me.
Why is sustainability important to you? And what are some sustainable practices? You mentioned no-till, but what are some others that you incorporate on your farm?
I've really started to believe that land is a gift. And because it's a gift, I want to do my best to steward any land that is in our care. I want to do that because, really, part of it is because I have kids, and eventually they will be the adults in whether they are at the place where we are farming now or they're somewhere else. I want them to have a world that is as productive as what we have now. I don't want anything that's in my care to be less productive next year than it was this year, if I can help to work with it to build it up. So we have tried to produce more and consume less as much as possible. We're also in that line of trying to recycle nutrients, like I said, with composting. We have a couple horses on the property. They produce a lot of manure. And so we have been historically, you know, over the last, you know, couple years up until this last year, that would get kind of spread out evenly throughout the different areas of the property, just on the ground, which is a great nutrient source for different plants, you know, the pasture grasses and things that need to grow. But by running all of that manure now through a static aerated compost pile, we're able to take that manure, compost it, kill off the weed seeds, and allow it to be something that we can put directly onto the garden to, again, capture those specifically for growing the produce now, as opposed to it would grow the grass really well throughout the property, but now we can use that on the garden beds. And the nice thing about adding that compost layer, every year that we add that, we're getting more soil organic matter, which is helping all of the microbes in there to do what they need to. They're getting nutrients that are then being shared between them and the plants. We're also able to retain more water in the soil by having this layer of compost. And by building that up over time, it's reducing our need to water the beds because every pound of organic matter you have in your soil can hold something like 5 pounds of water. So we're saving the water ahead of time that we can then use later. So trying to capture everything we can, keep it on the farm so that we don't have to bring in water, you know, either from a well or from, you know, wherever else.
Yeah, those best management practices are really key to some resiliency. Jeff, as we finish up this interview, and thank you again for coming in, can you tell us how the community, our local community, can support small farms like yours to strengthen our local food system?
Buying local is really important. I think that that's especially important as we are in a time where fuel is getting more and more expensive. The cost of everything in the food system is going to be more expensive. I do think buying local is your best way to support your farmers. I mean, buying from them, and hopefully your farmers are then reinvesting that into the community so that it stays there and helps everyone in the local area.
And this question is one that we asked at the end of each episode. And of course, I'm sure there are several things that you recommend as a small local farmer here in our Salem community. But what is one change you would encourage people to make in relation to your work?
I think everyone should plant and grow and eat some of their own food. I think that everyone should have a garden of some kind, even if that's just, you know, containers on a porch. You know, it doesn't have to be a quarter acre of produce, but just growing some things, food for yourself and others to eat, as well as flowers, anything that just lets you see the world and how it moves through the seasons.
Jeff, I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together and hearing more about your farm and how our local community can connect with and support our local farms. Thank you for taking the time to come in and talk with me and for sharing your story, because I think farmers sharing their stories, it's vulnerability as well, because there are so many challenges. But also thank you for sharing the joys, and we wish you a very successful growing season.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
I've been talking with Jeff Wyant, a local farmer and the owner of Open Table Farms in Salem. And I'm your host, Haley White, Small Farms Outreach Coordinator with OSU Extension in Marion and Polk Counties. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We are grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website, extension.oregonstate.edu, and our Facebook page for follow-up information. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesdays during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening, and we will talk soon.